Yeah, hallelujah. Well, good evening, everybody. I want to welcome you to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Where the Lord is always good to us, and we thankful, so thankful for the goodness of the Lord. And I'm just thankful for you being here tonight. Remember that the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, he will be in the midst of us. And so tonight we know that God is here, and he's going to pour out his spirit and just touch us in the way that he has for us. So I pray that everybody just join in worship tonight and just appreciate everything that the Lord has done for us. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you've made us sons and daughters. We thank you for sending your son. We thank you for rescuing us out of where we were at. We thank you, Father God, that you have eradicated. If we would receive it, if we would believe it, that you have eradicated everything that is not love and mercy and grace and passion for you. All this fear, this anxiety that people walk around with, Lord God. Depression, suicidal thoughts, anger, bitterness, offense. If we would just get before you and release it. You have made a way. You have made a way to deliver us from every single one of those things. You came to set the captives free. Father, I thank you that I declare I'm free from everything of yesterday. I'm free. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm here. I see the struggle. I see the pain. I see the spirit of depression trying to take you. I see the spirit of anxiety trying to wrap you up so tight that you can't operate in this world today. It grabs a hold of you so tight, but I'm here to break the chains of the enemy. So right now, I break depression. I break anxiety. Tell you, spirit of depression, go. Spirit of anxiety, go. Right now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. You cannot stay. And being offended is a choice. Being offended is a choice you are allowing. You have to break that. You've allowed it in by getting upset and angry and becoming bitter. And then you get an offense in you and it turns to bitterness. You've got to break that. My kingdom is waiting for you. Why would you let anything stop you? Why would you let another person's anger and hatred cause you? Some people, they're not even angry and hateful towards us, he says. Sometimes it's us that take it wrong and we allow offense to come in because they didn't do something fast enough for us. Or we saw them out there, but they didn't say hi to us, but they didn't see you. So did you say hi to them? Offenses come in so easily because the enemy wants to draw our attention away. Lord, I thank you that you've broken it. Right now, be unoffendable. Be unoffendable. Allow that bitterness inside of you. And I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody. Allow that bitterness just to go. You say, how do I do that? How do I do that? It's a choice every single day to control your thoughts, to get before the Lord, to find the scriptures about what you should think upon, how you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and how you should love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor, you can't hate your neighbor. Do what the Word says. And I know it's not popular nowadays to do what the Word says. We'd rather vent to somebody and let them make us feel better then do what the word says. Because the word takes work, right? It takes work to get into the word and allow it to change you. Allow it to wake you up to some of this stuff. Allow it to mold you into who he is instead of staying the same old bitter person we've been our lives. Get into his word. Don't allow the enemy from disappointment about something. I hear that. Somebody's disappointed about something. He said, you're disappointed about something that you're going to get, but you're disappointed because you don't have it yet. You just got to be patient. Stand. I've given you a promise about this thing. Stand.
Amen.
Don't be disappointed. Stand. And thank me. Thank me that I've already done it. My word doesn't return to me void. It accomplishes what I send it to do. So thank me. Don't be angry anymore. I paid such a great price for you because I love you so much. Don't allow the enemy to come in or your own behavior to stop you from going where I've sent you, to stop you from going what I put you on this earth for. I need you just as much as you need me. There's work to be done. Let this stuff go and just move forward with me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You guys weren't going to do another song, were you?
No.
Okay, very good. Very good. Praise the Lord.
You know God is for you, right? Like we know this, right? Just tell yourself, God is for me.
Yes.
When you're going through the rough times, just as we were getting prepared in here, y'all can go sit down. I'm going to talk for a little while. I'm just telling you, it's there.
Okay.
So you stay up here with me. We'll tag team it.
Okay.
Don't leave. Because that might be 5 minutes. But I want to tell you something. That when I was sitting in Phil's office, we had been doing some stuff, and I was resting in there.
Did you want to let the children go?
Yeah, sure. Kids, you can go.
You guys can go to children's church.
Sure. Have fun. Teach those teachers about Jesus. Get them, kids. You think I'm kidding? Some of those kids can tell you about Jesus and what he came to do and what he did. Amen? Lay their hands on you, pray for you, and you will be healed. We have some great teachers here. It teaches them the word.
Amen.
And great parents who also, that's where it starts. It starts at home. Amen?
Yep. Amen.
But I don't even have my thingy here, but as I was getting ready, as we were, you know, resting from some work we were doing, I just sat there and I was watching something and pressure was making something just explode. There was pressure being applied and it was just exploding and I'm watching that. And all of a sudden, I hear the Lord say, pressure. I said, okay. He said, no pressure, Regina. What do you want me to tell me about pressure, Lord? When he repeats himself, he's wanting to tell you something. And he said, my people are under pressure and go through pressure, through tribulations, through trials, through
afflictions.
Because there's something in them that needs to come out. There's something in them that pressure will show your face strong. Right? A diamond or a lump of coal. Now, is this really true? This is what I've heard all my life. I've never seen it happen. So y'all are going to have to tell me if this is just an old wives' tale. But I hear a lump of coal under pressure can turn into a diamond. Nobody knows if that's truth. Okay. Imagine that. If I hadn't known that, I'd have told my mom to give me a lump of coal every year from Christmas and find somebody could put pressure to that puppy and get me a diamond. Amen? Because she would threaten us with lumps of coal. I should have said, go ahead. No. But I'm just trying to say that that pressure put on that diamond, or that lump of coal, sorry, makes it a diamond. It turns what was already in the state of the world, right? This is what it was created. This is, you could, there's many uses of this coal to heat us and all that stuff. But when it has pressure put to it, and it's not pretty, coal's not pretty, let's just say that. It's all black and it's just not pretty.
Hey,
you're pretty.
Watch it, young lady.
You're pretty. Your sisters are beautiful. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with black. I knew he was going to take it that way, though. That's why I looked at it. But when it gets under the pressure and it turns into a diamond, that's beautiful. There's value in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you take gold, you know there's lots of imperfections in gold when they find it. And they have to take gold and heat it up to a certain temperature, and then they scrape off all of the nasty stuff in it. But they don't do that just once.
Right.
They do that repeatedly to get pure gold. And understand that some of the stuff that you go through is to make you into pure gold.
Amen.
Is to put pressure on you. How do we know our faith is real? How do we know our faith is true? How do we know that what we're believing of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what, how do we know
Amen.
That it's true? Have any of you been through a battle? And has God shown himself faithful? What's a battle? What's a battle put on you? Pressure. And there's not a person alive or has been alive that's not subject to that pressure. Not even Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Yes, he was. But he was put under pressure. Remember at the garden? Before he went to the cross. You can tell me that he wasn't under pressure, but have you ever sweat blood? I ain't Amen. Never been under that much pressure in my life.
Amen.
And trust me, I've been put under pressure. I've never sweated blood. Jesus was under pressure.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, take this cup from me. He was like, I know the price that's getting ready to be paid. I know what harm this is going to do to me. I know how horrific this is going to be when I go. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Why? Because he trusted his father that what his father had told him, what he would do. So his pressure resulted in a faith like no other.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
The Lord says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us out of
all. Them
all. That's in Psalms, I believe.
So there's nothing that is going to come against us to overtake us. Everything that comes against us, by faith, we can overcome.
How?
We have to endure.
How?
Holding on to your faith and standing in prayer and walking it out, even though it's difficult. You have to endure and you have to stay in it. And the Lord will deliver us because he's faithful.
So enduring isn't just... Okay, God, I'm just going to believe what you told me. So I'll just sit here, and I'm just going to sit here and wait.
No, waiting on the Lord means
that
you can...
Go, God, go.
No, waiting on the Lord means you continue in the things that have brought you this far. You have to continue in prayer. You have to continue in the Word. You have to walk out your faith. You have to be a part of church. You have to stand strong in those things that you're doing. For God and stay in the course.
So I can never just rest on where I'm at right now.
Right. You can never just sit down and just say, okay, whatever God's timing is will come. Nope, you have to keep walking in the middle of those things. That's what faith is.
What happened if I had pressure on me and I never moved? If there was a diamond there, or a lump of coal, sorry, I keep saying it the wrong way. But if there is a lump of coal there and we never stop... And the pressure, and we just leave it there, and it just gets more pressure, and we do nothing. We do nothing, because I'm sure somebody's there operating the machine, correct? and stopping it after it gets so much pressure to it. So then when it turns to a diamond, they stop the machine. What if not, what if we just say, oh, that's supposed to turn into a diamond. I'll come back tomorrow. Now, I have no idea, obviously, how long it takes it to push into. But I'm saying, say it takes 5 hours, and they come back tomorrow. What's going to be left?
Nothing. It'll be destroyed. It'll be crushed.
So pressure, if not dealt with, can destroy.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Pressure, not dealt with and let go, or trying to do it on your own, can leave you in a place of destruction. That's why it's so important. Whenever you hear pastor, like I've been hearing it more and more and more. I don't think that people truly understand that the end, the last days are upon us.
Yes.
Because if we truly understood that, why wouldn't we tell every single person about Jesus that we saw? Why would we allow pressure from our work, right? There's a huge pressure that happens from our work. And we come home and we get so frustrated from the day that it blows the rest of the night. So what have we not done? And pot calling kettle black here. I'm just telling you that I'm guilty of this. And you have such a rough day, and you just come home, and you just sit, and you just zone out watching TV, or you just zone out playing your video games, or you just, whatever your thing is that you zone out doing. And then what have you not done all night? What have we not done the entire night? We think we took the pressure off because we just ignored it. Pressure doesn't go away just because you ignore it. Pressure goes away because you get to the guy who can take the pressure. Not Phil. God. Right. Not Phil.
Yeah.
But the Lord who can. Lord. So you get before him. And you know what he's going to tell you. He's going to give you the steps that you need to do to deal with what you're dealing with. But we, if we truly believe that, why are we going to anybody else and telling somebody about how frustrated I am at so-and-so? Truly, truly, I'm serious. Like, we have made it such a thing to vent about our troubles and the situations that we're going through that we're forgetting to watch this thing right here. The pressure release, right? You want to release pressure? Start thanking God and reminding him of his word.
Amen.
Start using this to speak good and not evil. Start using this to speak positive and not that negative stuff that you've heard all day and not how sick of it you are. And I can't work with that person another day. Liar, you're going to go back to work tomorrow and you're going to work with that person another day. Stop saying it, right? Lord, I just can't handle anymore. Yes, you can. Because greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world. Amen. And if you're telling me that the one that's buffering you is more stronger, greater than the one that's on the inside of you, then you're right. Tomorrow's going to be a bad day for you. Because you're not relying on the one who created you.
Amen.
You're not relying on the one who gave you strength. And you're not remembering where your strength come from. Why is it that we can do the salvation message, and we hear the salvation message, and it hits us, right? It hits us. I know, I'm sitting down, my legs hurt. But it hits us so good, so much so that we raise our hand, or we said the sinner's prayer when the pastor said it, or we went up front, whatever you did to get saved. Or you kneeled in your bathroom, you kneeled in your living room. People can get saved at home, anywhere, right? And we believe that so much that we are saved. Like, I went to Phil after I left church. Because they said you had to tell somebody, you had to confess with your mouth, right? You believe in your heart, now confess it with your mouth. And I didn't know those people where I was at, so I went talking to them. So I go tell Phil, babe, guess what? I got saved today. What did you say?
I said, no, you didn't.
I said, yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. I said, what? No, you didn't.
I was so mad at him. But I understood Jesus did something for me, so I couldn't hit him like I would have. 4 hours before this, right? Because I got saved and now I'm supposed to be acting like Jesus. At least that's what that guy said up there. And so now I didn't know much, but I knew that I wasn't allowed to hit and fill at this point. So I think I yelled at you and got like so frustrated. And I said, yes, I did. And I ran out of there. What happened?
Yes, I did get saved.
I was so convinced of what God did for me that moment that nobody was stealing it from me. Not the pressure of a man saying, no, you didn't. Why is it that we can believe that so much? But when it comes to the rest of the word, we start doubting of what he will do because our circumstances may not be lining up at the moment because we're in a
pressure situation.
Yes. That it's not happening right now. Think of the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years suffered. But listen to me, when she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was immediately made whole. We can't hang on. Yes, we can. We can hang on. This pressure that's put on you, it's not for your demise. It's not to take you out. And the Lord's not putting the pressure on you. Get this. The Lord doesn't do anything.
He doesn't tempt any man with evil.
Nobody. And so the Lord's not doing this, but there is a thing that it can do for our good. What the enemy meant for harm, God will turn it for our good. Now, do I think the same way I thought 29 years ago?
No.
Do I act the same way I did 29 years ago?
No.
Did we get everything we wanted when we wanted it and how we wanted it?
No.
Bless the Lord, I'm still. Y'all know I just mess with him. But no, like there was a time that I had Josh, then we had Philip, and you and I wanted a little girl, correct? And we believed and we fasted and we just put our faith out there that we were going to get pregnant with a little girl. Do I have a little girl? Never happened. Why? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. You know what? One day God will tell me when I get to heaven, maybe. You know? I can't answer why I didn't have one. Because my faith was there. Listen, if y'all saw the stupid stuff I did when I was believing in faith, you think you crazy woman. I was. I was mm-hmm. using my faith. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. What did that do to you? Nothing. Did it crush me? No, I had two boys. I have two beautiful boys. Now, if I didn't have any kids, I'd have stayed in faith and kept fighting and did whatever it took. But I had two boys, so we were good. We were really good.
Yeah.
But I didn't get my little girl that I believed for. Why? Maybe that wasn't God's plan for my life. Maybe that wasn't in the cards. But am I going to get bitter over it because I didn't get what I wanted? How I wanted it and when I wanted it? Listen, I got a beautiful little granddaughter now. Whew. Yeah. I already told you, them grandbabies are way better than babies. I'm just saying. Amen. 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 If you have grandbabies, when you get grandbabies, you're going to understand. And it makes almost every parent say, if I'd have known this, I'd have skipped the kids and went straight to the grandbabies. They're just awesome. And I have a little girl. She's my granddaughter. And I'm telling you what, the Lord has just blessed us with her.
Amen.
So why am I going to get angry and bitter over that? Because it's a plan of the enemy to get my focus off of what I'm supposed to be doing in the kingdom. What if I would have allowed that to destroy me and never stepped into who we are supposed to be?
Right.
And he had to drag me everywhere he went. Right. What would that have looked like? We wouldn't be here. This building wouldn't exist. From us, maybe God would have used somebody else, but it wouldn't have been us that was, because I would have been bitter and angry and devastated that, well, God's not a puppet. God's not a genie. He's not there for us to rub the lamp and tell him what we want and he delivers. That's not the way this works. You understand that, right? Not the way this works at all. God is God Almighty. We are here to do his will. He gets to set the plan and the When we did the building and we had the plan. Yeah, there's a different name for it. You know. Huh?
Blueprint.
Thank you. Yes. He has the blueprints. He's the one who gets to create what we're supposed to do. And I, Lord Jesus, I don't know how many times you had to redo those blueprints for us. Mm-hmm. I repent that you had to, but it happens. Listen, some of us are going through pressure. Yes. Are you? They got you under pressure? Boy, I don't know what pressure you would have. You got the life. I thought there was going to be an Ava and Judah discussion tonight. I thought they would be going back and forth. But she's not. She's like back there listening, taking it all in. Amen. But you have to understand. And I don't know why this was so heavy on me today, but it really hit. Well, because Phil said that, because, you know, they're all in Africa right now. They're over in Magawagwa? Something like that. Magawagwa? Yeah. And he usually goes with them, and he couldn't go this time. And he's like, you know, I would normally be out of town right now, and you would have to be studying, getting a word. So I guess the Lord heard him and said, okay. But there's an importance that I think we overlook, and that is how important you are in the kingdom.
Amen.
I think you overlook how important you are in the kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
If somebody would tell you and come to you and say, I'm done, I'm quitting, I'm no good for the kingdom, I'm just not, this is just so hard, you would say, what? And you would have the word ready for them, telling them their chosen generation. God knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. He gave you himself to live on the inside of you. There's nobody more important than you. But we forget the importance and the value that's on you in this kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
The importance of us being a body of Christ. Amen. In the kingdom.
Amen.
You know, we have Jason.
Amen.
And them going out on Saturday.
Yep.
To go witness and to go hand out waters and stuff. Do you know how important that is? Do you know that if we don't open our mouth and talk about Jesus, that there's people out there that will never hear about him?
Amen.
And we think the whole world's heard about him.
Amen.
And it's not truth.
Not truth.
It is not truth.
Yep.
Somebody just said something. They were just telling us that they said, do you know Jesus loves you? And she's like, no, I don't even know who Jesus is. What do you mean he loves me? No. I don't know it. What are you talking about? A couple weeks ago. That's not years and years and years ago. That's a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
The importance of what we are supposed to do is big. But we're allowing pressure of the things that's meant to make us stronger to sit down and not do the things that we're supposed to be doing.
Yep. Amen.
Do you think?
Yeah. It means that when we have pressure going on and different things going on, we have to continue to use our faith. In fact, that's when we have to use it the most. Remember, James says, count it all joy when you fall into tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work patience and give you the ability to overcome and give you the ability to be and do what God wants you to do, because I'm telling you, your voice and who you are is very important for this time in which we're living. And you have a story to tell, and you have people to help and people who are going to be touched by what you have to say. And so we have got to make sure that pressure doesn't stop us from pursuing God. Pressure causes us to pursue him even more so.
Right, because where's your hope lie?
Exactly.
Where does your hope lie? You know, I remember when we were over in Africa. No, Jamaica.
Yep, Jamaica.
And these crazy people talked me into running. I was fast. I know you don't believe me, but this was in my early 20s. Y'all don't look at me now. This is not how I looked in my early 20s. So quit judging right now. Stop it. But no, they challenged me to race Phil. Okay, Phil didn't look like this either in his early 20s. He was fast. Fast. And I knew he could beat me. Now, my head never wants to tell me anybody could have beat me back then. But I had a plan. I said, okay, I'll race him. And I don't know if you've ever been to the, not the tourist spots in Jamaica, but the back roads and the back, you know, where the people live in Jamaica. And that's where we were at. And the roads, oh my goodness, it was like a little strip of cement for the road and then a huge pothole that stretched for a mile. Like it was like a little bit of cement and a lot of pothole. So I don't know why I was stupid enough to even do this in the first place, because I should have known I was going to get hurt. So we took off running, and I'm like, I can do this. And he starts moving ahead of me, and I'm like, I'm turning around. I'm going back. I'm going to hit the halfway mark, and I'm going back. Well, I started trying so hard that my feet got caught up. My feet ran faster than my body could handle. I don't know. Like Sonic. I don't know. And I fell, and I tumbled. Like, I didn't just fall. I went down. And I kept spinning, didn't I? And I got up. And there's blood everywhere, but there's also something sticking, like my skin's not broke, but there's something protruding out of my, you know, with my skin still intact, but there's a protrusion of something right there. Feels like, honey, this isn't good. And so we knew that my arm had broke, because I literally landed right on it. And it was just sticking out almost. You know, it didn't pierce the skin, but it was broke. You could tell it was broke. So I couldn't move it at all. And so there was 12 of us there at the time. And then we were at the pastor's house. So everybody that was there with the pastor and his kids, they all got around and we all prayed. And I just believed God. Because where was I going to go? To a hospital in Jamaica? Listen, their sewers were straight down there in the middle of their houses that they lived in. There was a stream of stuff that would just go, and that was their sewer system. I wasn't going to the hospital in Jamaica, right? I didn't trust it. I'm just going to be honest with you. So you guys all prayed. And so after they prayed, we go in, and there's one of the ladies that was the leading of that was the her and her husband was leading this, and she's helping me get cleaned up. And then finally Phil comes in and helps me try to get all of the dirt off and stuff. And I'm just in the shower, and I just hurt. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? I'm here doing, you ever have these conversations? I'm just here doing work for you. And I get hurt. Well, yeah, you silly girl, you're stupid thought that you pulled got you hurt. Like, you didn't use wisdom. That's what got you hurt. Open the door for the enemy, right? That's what I did. I opened the door for the enemy, because not only was I stupid enough to race him, I was cheating. So I'm sitting there, and I said, I thought you could heal my arm. He said, I've never had as audible as a voice speak to me again as I did this day. And he simply said, I did move it. I said, okay. So I start moving. Listen, I couldn't move it past here. And so when it went there, and then it was stiff, but all of a sudden I couldn't move it. We left like at 2:30 in the morning, and I'm lifting the luggage luggage in the car. There's no more, or the van, or whatever, the bus, whatever he had. There was no more protrusion in my skin. It was completely gone. Completely gone. Now, if I would have just been upset and kept the vein and the bitterness of saying, how do I come over here and
get hurt?
Yeah, because I'm doing stuff for you, God. We had lots of salvations.
Yep.
It was a beautiful crusade that we did. It was awesome. As bunches of people came to Christ. We helped them build onto their church, and it just was I'm like, how, you know, had I stayed in that vein, guess what wouldn't have moved? I would have been probably, they would have had to re-break it when I got home. Right, because it wouldn't have grown right, because I wasn't going to the hospital there, and been through more pain. You can't allow bad things happening to you to blame God for them. You got to allow God to heal them, though.
Amen.
And that's not just physical. It's not just an arm or leg.
Right.
But it's also emotional and mental. Right?
Amen.
You got to understand that he's here to do the whole thing. If there's anybody that's the total package, it's your Father in heaven.
Amen.
He is the total package. Amen. There's nothing he lacks, and there's nothing that's too hard for him. There's nothing he can't do. Now, he can't lie. He won't never lie. Right? But there is nothing that's too big for him. I think about sending Jesus and raising Jesus from the dead after 3 days. Remember, Lazarus was rose after 4 days.
Yeah.
And he can't heal this heart, this broken heart. He can't mend my mind if it's a little off. He can't mend this body. He can't heal my emotions from being wounded by a friend who was supposed to do me good but didn't do me good. Come on. There ain't nothing that God can't do.
Amen.
God is here to heal you wholly and totally, complete. Because when we look at him and we go after him, we are so full of him that we cannot not tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
And it won't be something you even have to say. They'll see it all over you.
Yep.
Amen?
Yes.
It is something that Phil, for years, I'm a little rougher than Phil. I know you can't
what?
Tell. I know you can't tell.
What?
Say I can't tell.
I can't tell.
Okay, thanks, some of you. We'll have a repenting line over here in a little bit. But Phil's always been the sweetest guy. Drives me nuts how he smiles all the time. Y'all don't see him as much as I see him. Drives me nuts when he smiles all the time. Because I don't understand it. How can a face smile all day long? I don't get it. My brain doesn't comprehend. So when Phil walks around and Phil goes into stores and stuff, people have stopped him and asked him for prayer. Why?
Yeah.
Because he walks with the goodness of God all over him, with the love of God all over him. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be rough. I don't want to be hard.
Yeah.
I want to be sweet.
Amen.
I'm trying. I'm asking God to make me sweet.
You're doing good, baby. You're doing good.
It's a long road. It's a long road. I'm not naturally sweet like Alicia, and I try. I'm trying. I'm going to be. Because I'm a work in progress, amen? Not perfect, never going to be perfect, but I am going to be who God created me to be.
Amen.
And I'm not going to allow any pressure or bitterness or anger or any of that stuff to stay within me and not allow me to go where he wants me to go and not bring everybody he wants me to bring with me.
Amen.
I don't want heaven to be empty.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. And heaven won't be empty because we're going to do our part, right?
Amen.
Amen. And we're not going to let bitterness or pressure or anything keep us from moving in the way that God wants us to move and keep us in the way that God would like for us to be. Amen?
Amen. Daddy needs to quit being mean to that child.
Amen. So we're just going to pray. I just feel led to pray. Listen, I think there are people that are good. But there are people, even though we're good, there's still areas that God sees that we haven't seen, but show us, God. That's what my prayer is all the time. Lord, I know there are things in me that are so irritating, but I don't see them because this is how I've been all my life. So I need you to show me. I need you to show me in me what is not good for your kingdom to act like. I need it to come out of me. I don't need to offend people. I don't need for people to think I'm mad or angry at them. I don't need, because I say something off color, because I'm so straightforward. I don't need them to think that, Lord. I need my heart softened. So God's just going to do what is needed in each of our lives, even you. Amen. Watching from live stream. He's God.
Amen.
He knows it all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father God, we just come before you, and we thank you. for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you love us so much. And Lord, we want to be like you. We don't want anger or bitterness or pressure to cause us to step away from you or to sit down and not follow the things after you and allow us to get just lukewarm and not be on fire for you. We want to be hot. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. Lord God, we want to be on fire for you.
Yes, Lord.
And I just pray right now that as we're all sitting here, and if you have not dropped something in the people that are here, drop it in them. I want to know what you're cleaning me up of. I want to know so that I know if I try that behavior again, that it's wrong and not to do it again. So show me what it is, Lord God. Show them whatever it may be. Heal them. Heal them up right now, Father, of anything that is still hanging on from the past that causes them
Amen.
To have this pressure. Lord, nobody has to be anybody but who you've created them to be.
Amen.
So all of this pressure of how we should act, let us just rest in you. Lord, if we just follow you and we just seek you and we just read your word, we're not going to help but to act like you, because you're going to be so full in us that we're going to reflect you. So, Lord, just do that for us tonight. Just bring us into a deeper place with you. Anything that's been holding on from yesterday, just cut it off. Show us those things. And, Lord, show us those things that is in us and around us because we refuse to do what's right. Show us the places that we're stubborn on and we are basically in sin on. Show us so that we can make the decision that, nope, I would rather have Jesus than to do something because I like to do it or because this is the way I've always been. I was a product of sin. My parents were married, but sin got into me when I was born into this world. I was never perfect. But Lord God, you can turn me when I come to you to be more like you. We want to think like you. So when somebody's talking, we're not thinking about what we're hearing. We're thinking like you would think and hearing what they're really saying out of their heart or out of the brokenness or out of their hurt or out of their disappointments. Let us love like you so that when they yell at us, we understand that it's not really us they're yelling at. It's because of this or because of that. Now, I'm not giving them an excuse, Lord. But I'm saying I want to love them like you love me. I want to hear with your ears. I want to speak with your words. Touch our ears, our mouths, our hearts, and our mind. And make us more like you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Put the pressure to us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, let us come out. Let us come out. Accomplishing what that pressure was meant to do. And that is make us more like you. Father, amen. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess that was a good message for tonight.
You got prayers.
Oh, I got some prayer requests. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God, Father. And Father, we put Sophie and her family before you. We put Lisa and Luke before you and their family. And God, we pray right now that COVID would be broken off of
yes.
them, Father. Lord, let everyone in each household be restored, Father. And Lord, let all symptoms leave them. And let them be healed, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now we pray for Candy, Father, and we just pray blessing and healing upon her, Father God, that strengthening would come upon her, Father. Lord, that every weak thing would be made whole, and God, that she just would be strong and just supernaturally healed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we just pray over Jamie right now, God, and we just thank you that he's 100% healed and blessed, Father, and Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. One thing we're going to do before we let you go is, I forgot we didn't take up tithe and offering.
That's what I do. I know.
Hallelujah.
And one other thing we're going to do on Sunday is we want to pray over all of the kids that are going home. So
yes.
We're going to take time to pray over all the kids.
Yep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're just going to bring the offering buckets up. And I'll say a prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray blessing over what everyone's giving tonight, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, Father, that God, you rebuke the devourer on their behalf, God. And Lord, that you increase them and that you bless them, God. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. And I just pray that you are blessed and just continue to press into the Lord. Let the Lord help you every day of your life, because that is what he desires to do. And the blessing of God is coming upon each and every one of you, because the Lord is faithful. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless.